A round of applause, please, for Paul Meyer, who's going to talk about Go in the Nix ecosystem and some interesting work he did in that area.
Yeah, welcome to my talk. I'm Paul. My GitHub handle is katexochin. I'm also a Mastodon. I'm a security software engineer, Nix packages maintainer, and I'm also part of the Nix packages Go team. So if you're wondering why you didn't receive the latest Go vulnerability update, I will tell you that it is currently in staging next and you have to wait or apply an overlay. So I want to quickly give an overview over the Go dependency management in general outside of Nix. Go manages dependencies as modules, which is a collection of packages that is released, versioned, and distributed together. So this is usually a repository scope. We have a go.mod file that declares minimum required versions of module dependencies. There's also a go.sum file that contains cryptographic hashes for these dependencies. But the go.sum file is not an exaglog file. And also the hashes in there are incompatible with Nix, so we cannot use import from derivation here. And then Go uses minimal version selection, which is a deterministic algorithm to select the actual versions that are used in the build list. And only ever one version of a dependency is selected in the end. And here's a quick look at the go.mod file. Just to get an impression, the required statements declare or direct, and at the bottom, indirect, so transitive dependencies. So now coming to the next part, how do we build or package Go stuff in Nix? In Nix packages, we have a single builder for this called build Go module. And yeah, for most, this might be straightforward. We have a source that we fetch from GitHub, and we have a package name and version. And what I really want to point out here is the vendor hash at the bottom, which pins our dependencies. So we will take a closer look at this and also at the derivation structure here. So we have one derivation of which is build Go module, the thing we want to build. Then we have the source, which is a fixed output derivation that pulls our source from GitHub. And then we have a third derivation here called Go modules, and this depends on the source and uses the go.mod file and the Go command to download the dependencies of the module we want to build into a fixed output derivation, and then this is pinned by the vendor hash. So if we now look at two different Go packages, pet and pin act, both will have Go modules derivation they depend on. And yeah, both will have some Go dependencies in there. And as we see here, now these two packages depend on the same Go modules. They have the same dependencies. But in Nix, we do not have any introspection into this. So we will download the same dependency again, and yeah, we do not know that these two fixed output derivations actually have the same content. So what does this mean for the current status Nix packages and for build Go module? We have to download things multiple times. We are storing these dependencies over and over again. Really important, we don't have any form of caching. So we have to rebuild the dependencies over and over again, both between two different packages, but also in case we change something about our actual package we want to build. There's no caching for the build of the dependencies, so we will also have to rebuild our dependencies in this case. Then we do not have any introspection into the dependencies in Nix. It is really hard to update dependencies of a package. For this, we would actually need to create a patch for the go.mod file, and we would have to do this for each Go package individually. And following, we do not have an easy way to patch vulnerabilities. So first I want to look at the vulnerability aspect. How bad is this? I've created a small project, GoVulnCheck Nix Packages. GoVulnCheck is the official vulnerability scanning tool of Go. And it has Go has a separate vulnerability database containing CVEs, but also Go vulnerabilities that are not assigned a CVE. GoVulnCheck is quite cool because it checks if the vulnerable code is actually reachable. So you get less false positive in case you would just import a vulnerable package, but there isn't a core path that would make your code reach the vulnerability. And then GoVulnCheck Nix packages runs GoVulnCheck on the source of all Go packages and Nix packages that are built with BitGo module. So what are the results here? In black, we see the packages that are discovered by GoVulnCheck Nix packages. The discovery is currently based on simple attributes of the output. Then in blue, we have the packages that are actually scanned successfully. This is just like a really simple project. And for example, for packages that use CGo, we do not provide the C dependencies. So the vulnerability checker will just fail because the dependencies aren't there. So we are missing out on some of those. And then in red, we have the number of vulnerable packages, which is quite stable, around 30% of the scanned packages. And then in yellow, we have the number of vulnerabilities in total. We have like around 3 vulnerabilities per vulnerable package. Just a reminder, we don't have like an easy way to fix vulnerabilities. Especially not at this scale. So now I want to make a jump to the caching problem again. And just, how the cache usually works with Go is we have like an environment variable, GoCache, which points to a file system path, and there's our cache located, and Go will read and write to this path and manage the cache itself. And now there's a really cool feature in Go 1.24 and also in earlier versions as experimental feature that lets us provide a binary called GoCacheProc. And this gives us a lot more flexibility. Go will just invoke this binary during the build process and talk a JSON-based protocol via standard in, standard out, with two basic operations, get to request a cache entry via an action ID, and then in case we got a cache miss, Go will build the package and then call put. So the Go cache proc can write the cache result, the build result somewhere. And at this point, I want to introduce GoBuild.next, which is a next generation builder for Go. It uses GoCacheProc. And just so you get an idea, the GoBuild.next tries to provide a package set of Go dependencies where each Go module has its own derivation. So we will try to module the Go dependency graph in Nix. And first, I want to show how GoBuild.next uses GoCacheProc. So we have written a GoBuild Nix cacher binary that implements GoCacheProc. And the way this works is we have an environment variable where we read a number of paths from. And then Go, the cacher will serve the cache entries found at these paths, and the paths will point to the Nix store. And in case we have a cache miss, the cacher just writes the build result into a defined output. And we can add the store paths via setup hook. So we put the Go module dependencies into our build input. The setup hook will add the store path to the environment, and then the Go cache, the cacher can serve these. Now looking at this from a derivation level, so here we want to build github.com/foo/a. We have a source in green, then we have the source of our dependencies, which is required for the build process. We merge that with the source of foo/a by linking the dependencies into the vendor directory. And we also provide the cache, so the build output of when we build the dependencies to the cacher. And now the idea is that we will not have to rebuild the dependencies because they are already cached. The cacher will serve the build cache for the dependencies, and we will only need to rebuild the packages that belong to foo/a. And for these packages, the output of the build process is written to out, and then the final build result will contain the cache entries for foo/a. And looking at this at the package set perspective, these packages will construct a package set mainly consisting of the build results, the cache entries that the cacher stored in the output. Also quite important is that we have to have the source of our transitive dependencies available for build. And if we now want to build a Go binary, we would do that outside of the package set and just add all the build inputs as usual, so the Go modules as build input, and we would have all the dependencies already available and also built. And yeah, every dependency is only available in one single version in this package set. So we are doing like some overwriting of the version where a package depends on. So what we get here is we get incremental source fetching. We can fetch every dependency on its own. We get rid of this vendor hash. Also, we get rid of the bad development workflow that comes with that. We get incremental builds, caching for our build process because the dependencies are already cached. We get great composability because we're using setup hooks. We get the possibility to patch vulnerabilities because we only have a dependency once in our set, and we can then bump that, and it will propagate to all the dependents. So that's really cool. This project targets Nix packages. The status is highly experimental. It's not usable yet. I did some research, and I figured we would have to have like 12,000 Go dependencies, or so Nix packages with Go packages to build all the packages that are currently in Nix packages. And yeah, right now we are like about 30 packages that we are building. So there's still a lot of work. And we still are figuring out like how can this work at all. Yeah, and it's a lot of work. I'm looking for people to collaborate on this, both for the builder, the new builder, but also for the vulnerability research thingy. Please talk to me. You can reach me on Matrix or here in person. And then I want to give a shout out to other Go-related Nix projects. And I want to point out especially the one at the bottom, which is quite new, and which uses the same Go cache proc mechanism to serve the Go cache from outside the sandbox. So this introduces some impurity, but it relies on Go to ensure the correctness of the build. So yeah, that's something that might be usable today. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for the great talk. We have a lot of time available for questions. Are there any questions? I see a hand back there.
Maybe I missed it, but do you still use the GoMox file to determine the dependencies, or you have to add them to the built-in boots in the derivation?
So the question is if this still uses the go.mod file, and the answer is no, it does not. You have to add the build dependencies as build inputs in Nix, in your Nix derivation, and we will also rewrite the go.mod file. So because if you, as I said, there's only like one version available, and this means that when there's like a diff in the version you have in your go.mod file and in Nix packages, there could be like transitive dependencies that have changed. So yeah, rewriting the go.mod file completely at this point.
There is another question here in the front.
I think a follow-up of that question, is there some kind of equivalent, Nix equivalent log file that you are generating?
And Nix
because you do you have to manually add all the dependencies to your build file, or do you generate a log file? Like a mod file with
no.
The Nix hash.
So the idea is that you do not, the question is if we create some kind of log file for this, and the answer is no. The idea is that first you have your dependencies available in Nix packages, so you just have to add them as build input, and then they are pinned as we fetch the source, and at this point they are pinned.
So quite a lot of work.
Yes, this
can
is quite.
Can you show?
This is a lot of work. No.
Of a build file?
No, I don't have that available.
Okay, so, but you can maybe automate this from the GoMods environment, right? You can kind of have a tool that takes the mod file and gives you the Nix array of dependencies that you can then you can even like include this Nix update or something.
Yes. So the idea is that this could be there's like a lot of room for automation, and sure there is. I don't think we will have to package all these things by hand, especially as there are a lot of libraries that are really easy and do not have like any build inputs at all, or we can use the inputs declared in the go.mod file. But we're not there right now.
Quick in between question, is Josh Lee here, who's going to be the speaker for the next talk?
Okay.
No? Okay. No, then questions about the actual topic?
No.
No more questions? Well, then thank you very much. Thank you for finishing on time. Please another round of applause.